struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. But before we get started, I wanted to give you all the opportunity to hop in our group at facebook.com/group/nonprofitarchitect. We're running a contest right now for your chance to win a $200 donation. We're not just building stronger nonprofits by giving you the actionable steps to do what you do better, but we're also putting our money where our mouth is. And if you sign up for the contest and the rules are in the group, that you will get the chance to win a $200 donation and have a direct, real-world, real-time impact to your mission. If you're struggling with fundraising, if you're unsure of how to handle a board, if you're not sure where to go and what your next steps are because you have this endless list of things to do, you can also sign up for the Nonprofit Architect Alliance Mastermind Group. Real easy, real low barrier of entry at $50 a month to get in with other leaders like yourself that find themselves stuck. Help let other people in the group solve your problems. If you're doing this thing as a solo shop or without a lot of support from your board, it's hard to know who to go talk to. It's hard to know what to do next. And if you're doing this alone, chances are you're not going to get very far. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go as a group. So also in the group, sign up for the Nonprofit Architect Alliance Mastermind Group and let the experts help build your stronger nonprofit each and every month. Now let's go to the interview. Hey, welcome. I'm sitting here today with Bruce Rosenthal, and we're going to talk about a different way to create partnerships and sponsorships with other organizations that's not just your standard bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, Tesla, whatever. Hey, Bruce, how you doing today?
I'm doing good today, Travis. Thanks.
We're recording this on voting day. It probably won't be out until like January is when this episode will be released, but it is voting day today, election day. It's early. I already voted and interested to see what the country is going to do later, but we're not here to talk about election or politics. Bruce, what do you do with Bruce Rosenthal Associates?
Well, good question. I have worked with nonprofit organizations throughout my career, and really going back, I'd had some touch points with sponsorship programs with organizations. And about 12 years ago, I was working with an organization and on another project, and the CEO invited me into his office, and he said, "Well, Bruce, you've heard we've been working with a consultant, and we have this brand new corporate partnership program for the association. Would you like to run this program?" And I said, "Sure, that sounds great." And I've had a few touch points with sponsorship programs in previous years. And he said, "Good to go." He said, really, his marching orders were, he said, "We're going to change our program from the transactional to the transformational. We're going to move away from the very transactional, as Travis said, the gold, silver, bronze, aluminum, styrofoam, whatever levels, and selling logos on tote bags, to really partnering with these companies." And he said, "You know, it's interesting that our association's members and the corporate sponsors, customers, are the same entities. We're all working on behalf of these members, and we can do this together with these companies." Now, what was interesting about the timing, which I haven't mentioned, that I mentioned was about 12 years ago, this was late 2008, just as the economy tanked. So we had 20 companies paying top dollar of any of the organizations in our space, top dollar for their sponsorships. And I knew some of them were going to get no new business in the next few years. They were architects, developers, banks, and our members just weren't going to be able to do any of that because of the economy. So I had a really good program based on the work of the consulting firm that had put this program together, but I knew we were going to need to make some changes. So one of the first things I did was to hire a consultant. She did confidential one-on-one interviews with the top-level companies. Now, these were big association and big sponsors. These were $160,000 sponsors, but I want everyone to realize everything I'm talking about today can be scaled. So if your organization has a $160,000 budget and your sponsors are paying, you know, $500, all of this can be scaled and it's the same strategies regardless. But we have companies paying $160,000. So the consultant comes in and she talks to me about the interview she's going to do. And she had a lot of questions on what was the value proposition, what were companies getting out of the sponsorship. And her last question that she wanted to ask was, if the organization made some of the improvements we've talked about on this call, would you pay more? And I said to her, would you please take out that question? I think it's insulting. These companies are paying $160,000. More is pushing $200,000. I don't think they're going to do it. She said, let me leave in the question. So I said, okay, you're the consultant, leave in the question. So she interviews the top level companies and she comes into a big meeting with the CEO and of course myself and the COO and the head of conferences and the head of membership and the head of marketing. And she said, I have my results. And she said, the good news is the 10 companies I interviewed are unanimous. They all think exactly the same about the program. And I'm like, great, we're good to go. And she said, however, they all unanimously view the program completely differently than you as a staff view the program. And even though this was supposed to be this transformational program, it was still somewhat transactional. So she said, you as a staff view the program as one of the benefits that the sponsors get on the website and in the e-newsletter with banner ads and at the meetings and conferences. She said, none of the companies looked at the program that way. She said, they all said that the value of the sponsorship was around three big things. Of course, the first was business development. They all wanted new clients and customers as a result of the sponsorship. But she said the other two were interrelated and interesting. The second was the sort of brand exclusivity. Now, again, this was a big association. We had hundreds of business firm members. We had a lot of exhibitors. We only had 10 companies in this top category. Those 10 companies wanted to be differentiated from all of the other companies in the exhibit hall and among the membership that sold the same products or services. And the third, and this is the real biggie for a lot of sponsors now, they wanted to be positioned as thought leaders. They wanted the members to know not only did they sell a product or a service, but they were truly smart and they could really help members. And those three things are very interrelated because if a company is positioned as being smart and knowledgeable, that gives them brand exclusivity, which can lead to business development and sales. So we immediately kind of rejiggered the benefits in those three big categories. So instead of just saying, here's what you get at the conference, here's what you get on the website, here's what you get in the e-newsletter, we put them in those three categories. But the next real big iteration was we realized we still needed to make some improvements. We basically got rid of the categories. We did have gold and silver. We didn't have five other categories. We had gold and silver. We kind of got rid of that, got rid of the list of benefits, got rid of the prospectus. And if a company came in or we called a company about being a sponsor, we had a conversation. And we asked the company about their business goals and their sales goals and how they wanted to be known among our membership and what sort of successful sponsorships did they have with other organizations. And we would just keep asking more and more questions and follow-up questions. We didn't offer anything at that point. We just asked a lot of questions to really dig down and determine what their company was looking for and what their business goals were. And at the end of the conversation, we thank them for their time. And I would say, can we get back to you in a few days? And I would get together with folks on our staff and maybe a board member. And I'd say, here's the profile of this company. Here's what their goals are. What can we offer them in alignment with our organization's mission and something that would help our members and at the same time fulfill those companies' goals? And then we would go back to the company with a plan that was roughly around their price point. And we would make an offer and we'd say, we heard you, or can we reiterate what we heard you say? Here are your business goals. Here's how many, and some of them were very specific. They were like, we need, you know, 12 meetings that'll result in 4 proposals that'll result in 3 signed contracts by the end of the year, whatever their specific goals were. And we said, we have a plan to help you do that. And it might be, maybe we could do a webinar together or a survey of our members or a press release around that survey. And invariably they would say, great. And we would say, well, by the way, you can get your logo on these tote bags at the conference and you get these banner ads and these other things. And they'd say, well, whatever, you can throw that in. But we really like the idea of the webinar and the survey and the press release. So it really flips this whole model around from kind of mass marketing a prospectus to dozens or hundreds of organizations or in a community going door to door to local businesses and say, would you like to sponsor our local organization? and flips it around to a business conversation, almost like a marketing agency conversation, to delve into what companies really need and how the organization can help them with that. And this is predicated on the realization that most sponsorships are marketing initiatives for companies. These are marketing dollars. They're not philanthropic dollars. Now, there is some variance, and for some organizations, it's philanthropy. And if the head of the company said, yep, great organization, write a check, deal done, and that's fine, and definitely take that money. And there will also be some companies that will say, we just want our logo on something. We want our logo on your website. We want a banner ad. Next time you have an event in person, we want the logo on the tote bags. Take their money and do it. But the bigger dollars, the companies that'll pay 5 to 10 times more than what they are paying you now, are going to want not an event-based, but a year-long relationship that truly fulfills their goals. So that's what I've been doing. That's what I'm helping organizations do. I left that association about 4 years ago. So I work as an advisor and consultant and educator to associations and nonprofit organizations to help them implement these new sorts of sponsorship programs.
So this is amazing. Let me see if I heard you right. They all agreed. They all said they want new customers, new members. They wanted exclusivity, something different from everyone else. And they wanted to be seen as thought leaders. Is that right?
That is correct.
I just asked because people listening can't see your head nodding.
Yes. Okay. Those are the three main things and this is true, really, and there could be a little variance, but there are not too many things in life that where we can say all companies want basically the same thing. But all of those where this is not philanthropic dollars, it's not social accountability, when it's their marketing dollars, they have marketing initiatives, and that's they find that the main drivers of that with sponsorships are, you know, of course, around business development, brand exclusivity, and being positioned as a knowledge leader.
See, and I like this. And there's nothing wrong with the gold, silver, bronze, whatever things you come up with there. That's fine. But I don't think that it has the impact that the business really needs and wants to see. I had another guest, Andrea Shirey. She talked about that after she created a sponsorship or a partnership, that she would take out an ad in the place where the business was doing their marketing, right? She would contact their marketing department, figure out where they ran their ads, and she'd run a thank you ad for the business for partnership where their customers live, which I thought was fantastic. And I think everyone agrees with me because, I mean, you can show your following what this company is doing, but your following might not care about that company. But if you advertise a thank you where that company markets, then everyone where they have deemed their customer lives, their customers or potential customers will see the good things that the company is doing, which is awesome. But you're taking it to a whole nother level, and a company that might have $10,000 to give for philanthropic purposes may also have $100,000 to give towards marketing and creating a marketing partnership and having money come out of the coffers from the marketing end. Even if you get half that, that's five times what you could have got on the max end on the other side, just giving to charity. So creating a co-branding, I think we talked about in the pre-interview, like a co-branding survey or list of the top 100 whatever associations are, and co-branding that with, I don't know, a bank and your organization. Now all of a sudden, the people that were listed, you know, in the top 10 can use it in their marketing. Like, hey, we were in the top 10 based on this survey done by your organization and this bank. And all of a sudden, it looks like the bank cares about more than just getting your business and getting loans out. They care about what's going on in the community. It's a win for all sides.
Yep, it is. And yeah, this is very much an ROI, return on investment proposition for sponsors. And so it's important to try to find out when you have that discussion with companies. And again, we're talking about discussions with several companies, 10 companies. We're not talking about, you know, going out and talking to 80 companies. But when you have those discussions, and you can ask them, what is their return on investment? So if they explain to you, gee, we really hope the sponsorship results in 15 meetings and 5 contract proposals and 3 signed deals. And you can say to them, what are those deals worth to you? And they may not say. I had one company once that said, well, I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement not to share that information with others. And I was glad to do that. But and in some cases, you may know. I mean, Travis is an example of a bank. So a bank, if they're, you know, offering loans or business loans, they get, you know, one business loan as a result of that sponsorship. what do you think that's worth to them? It's probably worth a lot. And if that loan gets increased or renewed over time. So having an idea what the revenue, the return on investment is for sponsors gives a good indication of what they can afford to pay and what it's worth to them to sponsor your organization.
What would that look like? How would someone go about that? And what would the process look like?
Sure. Well, let's actually take it one step back. Let's say your organization doesn't have many sponsors or many active sponsors now. So the first thing that often comes up, and we hear a lot about this, I don't know who to call at a company. How do I get someone to return a phone call? And especially now that nobody's in their office and nobody's answering their phones and they don't answer emails or they get a gazillion emails a day. How do you even get somebody to return your call? And I think this is basically a sales strategy. And my background is not in sales, but I realized in fostering relationships with companies on behalf of organizations, you can call it sales or you can call it relationship building. From the company standpoint, it's probably sales. So I think a lot of us have a lot of sales potential that is kind of unrealized. So one strategy that we talk about in some of the trainings that we do as part of an organization that I had called the Partnership Professionals Network, where we feature best practices and do training and webinars. And one of the training strategies, sales strategies in identifying these companies and getting them to return your call is to do some research ahead of time. So if it's a company that is doing something that relates to your organization or your members or your mission, or the company has a new initiative in that area, and you can find this on their website or in their annual report, and then to pick up the phone or send a quick email and say, gee, I heard your company has a new initiative around XYZ. We just did a survey of our members and XYZ is a top priority for them. I'd like to talk to you about a way we could work together relating to XYZ. That call or that email will probably get a response as compared to calling and saying, I'm with the ABC organization. We're having a big event next week and we're selling sponsorships for $500 to $1,000. Could you call me? Those messages usually don't get responded to because it's usually quick delete, delete, delete because they got five of those messages this morning.
So let's take a look at an example. Like you are a veteran-run organization and you found out that the head of a bank near you in your community loves veterans, and he's trying to do an initiative to help raise awareness for veteran suicide and wants to get involved in the community. You can then know that information, know what you do and how it aligns with your mission, and then your first contact can be all about what they want and what they're looking to do.
Right. And assuming that this, and I always say this, the organization's mission comes first. So this needs, so if this org, if this company is doing something that doesn't really align with your mission, don't do it. It's not going to do you well or your stakeholders or your members. But assuming, yeah, in your example, Travis, there's an alignment, you're a veterans organization, the bank is really trying to reach out to veterans, give them that call. They will most likely respond. And this is when you have that kind of what I call the business needs discussion. Just ask one question after another and follow-up questions, and do not offer anything at this point. So if halfway through the conversation, you say, wow, and based on what your bank is doing, we have this big gala coming up next month. And then the banker says, yeah, we don't do galas anymore. That's, you've blown it. That's the end of the conversation. So just keep asking, probing how they define success. Say, you know, if we did work together, what would success look like in 3 months or 6 months or a year? And then to take all that information, and actually, ideally, if you can do that conversation with two folks from your organization, someone else on your staff, or with a board member, so one of you can take notes while the other is asking and preparing more questions, you'll get even better information. And in the ideal world, when we can do these things face-to-face, better if you can do them face-to-face or on Zoom, just so there's more of a relationship building. And this could be a 30, 40-minute discussion. And most, you know, in this example, most banks, I think, would be glad to have that conversation and know that you're really interested in them. And it's just kind of this thing we often hear about you know, if you go to a cocktail reception and you just ask somebody one question after another, they'll say, oh, you're a really good conversationalist. Well, I didn't say anything. I just asked you five really good questions about where you went to school and your job and all that, and you think I'm the good conversationalist. So if you just ask, you know, banks or others these questions, and then that's when you thank them for their time, say, this has been really helpful. We want to come up with something customized. We don't have a standard gold, silver, bronze, or a package or anything we're selling listening today, we want to think about this and go back to our organization. And this, again, is where you look for the alignment with your mission and what your members need. So if you say, wow, this bank is really looking into this aspect of, you know, veterans who left the service, you know, more than 10 years ago. Gee, we have some members in that category. What if we surveyed those members on what their challenges are in getting bank loans or getting car loans? And has that changed since, you know, when they first left the service? Are they getting better or less better service 10 years later? Whatever it is, to find that sweet spot of what the bank is looking for and what your organization is looking for or would find useful. And then to think about the spinoffs. Gee, if we did a survey together and then we did something on social media afterwards, or then if we did a press release, or if we did some sort of online press conference afterwards, or published it on our website, or even then go to the bank and say, publish it on your website. Say you partnered with this local veterans organization. Back to the good point Travis made earlier of, you know, how can the sponsor promote the relationship internally to their stakeholders. That would be it. Maybe the sponsor would that even put something in an ad in a local newspaper or a local radio ad to say, we sponsored this local survey with this local veterans organization. Here's what we found. And then to take your plan as a draft, not as a kind of PDF shrink-wrapped proposal, but as a draft, back to the bank in this example and say, you know, we just want to reiterate, this is what we heard your goals are. You're working on this outreach to veterans who have been out of the service for more than 10 years. And here's what we came up with. And, you know, here are some of our ideas. What do you think? And we'd be glad to change them or tweak them. And then it's a continued conversation. And just, again, always keeping it in alignment with the mission. If the bank says, yeah, we want to do something different and we want to be featured on your organization's homepage for the next year and a half, it's like, no, that's really not what we're talking about here. That doesn't quite work for us. Let's talk about something that works for both of us and really gets to your bank's goals. And then at some point, you get to the big question of cost and what it would cost to do that. And you don't want to underprice it. An endeavor like doing a survey and social media and something on your website or a press conference is going to take some effort. And I think what a lot of organizations do is they undersell their services. And one example I often give, it's if it's an event and you say, oh, there's going to be a coffee break during the event and the hotel's going to charge us $800 for the coffee. And then you say, oh, well, let's find a sponsor for $1,000. Well, that barely covers your costs of setting it up and spending the time to make that arrangement. And it also doesn't address that ROI question. So if the company being featured is a sponsor of this coffee break, gee, that's tons of visibility. Maybe that's worth $3,000 to them or $2,000, not just to cover your costs. So I think you, and like this marketing agency approach, you really want to look what a marketing agency does is figures, you know, what are the billable hours? What will it really take to deliver these services to the client? So I think we want to do the same with our sponsors, figure out that price point of what is the worst to the sponsor in terms of ROI and what does it cost our organization. And because you're leveraging your organization's brand, there can be, call it a markup or whatever, that's worth something. And every organization's brand is worth something. And you look at kind of in marketing literature, one of the most valuable assets in the world is the Coca-Cola logo because of what that means in terms of perception. And that's worth more than all the bottling plants and everything else because it's their logo, it's their brand. And an organization's logo, along with that bank logo on an ad, on a website, and social media outreach, is worth a lot to that bank. So that should be part of the equation of what is your brand worth.
So let me see if I heard you correctly. You go and you ask questions, and then you listen, and then you don't make an offer. Did I hear you right?
That is correct. Because you really don't know what to offer. You don't want to offer the wrong thing until you've really delved into exactly what are they looking for and not looking for, how do they define success. Plus, you really can't synthesize all of this, and you might want to get input from others on your staff or your board. You really can't synthesize all that on the spot. So I think it's perfectly fine to say, great information. I really want to come up with something that meets your needs in specific, in particular. Can we schedule an appointment in 2 days or 3 days, and I'll come back to you with something.
I also want to make a point on that branding piece. I talked to a lot of startup nonprofits, and I don't think they understand really what a brand is. If you are a startup nonprofit or a solo shop, you as the leader, you as the person talking to the media, you as the person making the connections, you are the brand. The brand's not just a logo. It's who you are as a person, and your personality and your persona out in the world is your brand. They are one and the same. So understanding what you're really getting into and what you're really asking for is to build a partnership and a long-term relationship. You are not looking for someone to sponsor your kid's baseball team for this season. That's not what you're looking for. You are looking for something that may last 5, 10, or 20 years or longer. You are looking for a long-term way to provide real value to both your organization and to theirs because your missions are aligned. If they're off at all, it's not going to work. If you are playing JV when they're playing varsity, it's not going to work. And if you try to sling out an offer there because you got excited on your first meeting, it's not going to work.
Right. And I think not only are we talking about long-term, we're talking about year-long. And I think what has worked really well for organizations for many decades, and we've kind of gotten very comfortable with it, is event sponsorship. So whether that's a convention, an expo, a gala, a golf match, and for companies that are looking for that sort of marketing strategy, those one-off events generally don't meet their needs. And I was interviewing a corporate partner for a client a few months ago, and we were talking about it was mostly an event-based sponsorship is what they got at the convention, whether it's an in-person or a virtual convention. And the company said, "Well, Bruce, you know, it really doesn't do that much for us. We market our product 365 days a year. Their convention is 3 days a year. It just doesn't help us that much." And what I often hear from companies, I know that as associations, we don't do this intentionally, but they'll say, you know, we hear from the organization 2 months before their big event. They want us to buy gold, silver, bronze. We might get a little information before the convention. And then after the convention, some companies will say it's like pulling teeth even to get the attendee list or to find out how the event went, or maybe we get an email thank you note. And then we go and ask for hundreds of thousands, or in some cases tens of thousands of dollars, for companies to sponsor our 3-day event. And it also doesn't meet that kind of mission value proposition either. That doesn't help the organization much. It gets a little money coming in, but most companies, and especially now with the pandemic and a lot of groups not doing in-person meetings, a lot of companies are just saying, we're not going to do the conference sponsorship, which means they may not be doing much sponsorship at all. So the real value proposition is year-long. And then, yeah, as Travis said, once these companies are satisfied on a year-long, they're likely to renew for many years to come. And I used to work with sponsors that had been sponsors of the organization for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So if the value is there, there's no reason they'll go elsewhere.
Absolutely. Something you mentioned a little bit ago about doing a press release or something together. You could ask your members, people that are listening, you can ask your members what questions they would have to someone like a bank that's going to offer loans. What kind of questions do you want answered? And you can have those questions on a survey, or you can do a Facebook Live together where you're asking the expert these questions, and it shows that they are getting engaged, something that will only take 10 to 20 minutes, and it really isn't going to have a huge impact on their personal time. You can get all these answers up front and build that relationship at a whole other level and getting them involved directly with the people that you both serve and you both care about.
Yep. No, I think having sponsorships be member driven is a great approach. And for any size organization, one strategy that I've heard organizations use is to wait until after the organization's budget is approved for the upcoming year and then look at the things that didn't make it into that budget. And whether the organization's budget is $10,000 or $100,000 or $10 million, we all have things that didn't make it into the budget. They were worthy products, projects, whether it's education or surveys or research or whatever. Look at what did not make it into the budget and then see if there's some alignment with a company that would like to support that initiative. Now, it does need to be that win-win. So you can't just go out and start calling companies and say, gee, we want to do a survey. Does your company sponsor surveys? But find that company, like the example that Travis and I came up with the bank that's interested in offering loans to veterans and your organization serves veterans. Find that match. And when it's in alignment with the organization's mission and the things you know your members or your stakeholders need, it's also a much easier sell internally. Because I've also seen instances where boards or other people on staff will say, well, we don't want sponsors. They'll just tell us what to do and we'll be selling stuff for them. But if you go to a board and say, you know, we really wanted to do this series of three webinars, but we couldn't fit it in the budget, but we found this company that'll work with us on these three webinars, then boards are likely to say, wow, that's great. We didn't even budget for it. And now we have money coming in. And then with kind of that bump up with the price, because of we're going to co-brand, then it'll provide some additional revenue for our organization.
So all the stuff we've talked about today and all the things that we've mentioned, it's really finding out what an organization really wants. Where are you going to have your values aligned? What the real return on investment is? And really, we're talking about how to think and do it a little bit differently. All the things that have worked for generations now are all of a sudden called into question with things like COVID, and your standard answers and your standard approach and your standard things may not be working the way they used to work. We have to take time to learn, like someone like Bruce, and figure out something new and a new way to partner that's really going to provide value and impact. And this is a fantastic way, especially like a co-branded study, where you are going to be doing some work, and you may be doing some work that's a little bit differently than what you normally do, but the end result is going to be a vastly strengthened partnership. It's going to have more money coming in, and you're going to be able to then provide your programs and services better, more efficiently, and maybe you're going to be able to add things to your budget because you have more money coming in. The standard way of doing business just doesn't work like it used to. If you're talking to me, if we're doing a one-on-one, I'm going to talk to you about how to automate and get other fundraising measures coming in. If you're talking to Bruce, he's going to help you develop these other stronger partnerships that are different than your gold, silver, bronze. Find ways that you can do things differently. Something that we talk about here might be the exact thing you do, or you might send Bruce a message and be like, hey, have you thought about doing it like this a little bit differently? And maybe that's new to Bruce, and maybe he'll say, give it a shot. I want to see how it works. Please, please, please don't just listen to this. Listen to this and then implement something. Try something new. Try a different approach. This has been the year of firsts for people. People are telecommuting. They're doing galas online. They're having a custom-made a cocktail and an appetizer that everyone gets beforehand, and there's a virtual cocktail hour before everything starts. Go and network and ask questions, and don't just talk about yourself. Like you mentioned, if you're actually in there and listening, they're going to say you're a great conversationalist, and all you did was inquire and care about what it is that they do. And the fun fact about it is the next time you talk to each other, they're going to be asking questions about you because they want to know how they can provide you value because you showed just how much you've cared about them.
Yeah. Now, this is a great year to, it's definitely a challenging year for many organizations, but this is a great year to try things new. And my presentations haven't really changed that much in really since I started the Partnership Professionals Network 8 years ago, and we started talking about these new types of ideas and best practices. And then when I started as a consultant, I would talk about, well, let's try something new. A lot of organizations are not taking this approach. A lot are doing gold, silver, bronze. A lot of it's event-based. Let's think about a different way. And at times organizations are like, oh, that wasn't the right time 2 years ago, and my board's not ready, and my staff's not ready, and I don't have the staff to do it, and I don't have the time to think about it. And as challenging as this year is with the pandemic, I think if you need to blame it on the pandemic, just go to your board or go to your staff and say, we've given this some thought. We might not be 100% on it, but we've given it some thought. We have to try something new. If we don't try something new now, there is no better time, and we don't want to be sitting here a year from now saying we're still in the pandemic and we're still losing money or we still can't have our in-person event. Now is the time to begin to think about new ways to do things. And again, it can be scaled for any size organization, but this is really critical. This is about revenue and it's about information for your members or stakeholders. So the idea that the Travis started of the bank and the survey for veterans is a perfect example. And I think any organization, even if just a short brainstorm at your next board meeting or staff meeting to say, what could we do like that? How could we find an issue that our members really care about, our organization really needs, and what sort of company would be interested in doing that sort of thing, where we could truly call and leave that message for the company saying, you're interested in this, we're interested in the same thing, let's talk. and not just be selling something. So this is something anybody can do. It is something new and different. There are not a lot of organizations out there thinking about this. So I think it's even though we think of ourselves as not-for-profits, this is not-for-profit as a tax status. It's not a business model. We are running businesses that happen to have a not-for-profit status. And I know we don't like to talk a lot about competition, but the sponsors are looking at competition. They're looking at your organization, and they're looking at the 15 other organizations that reached out to them or sent them a prospectus in the past month, and they're making choices, and it's a competitive decision. So the organizations that figure this out sooner than later are the ones that will be more successful.
Absolutely. How can people research a company best? Do you like figure out who the CEO is and Facebook stalk them and see what they're passionate about? I mean, do you Google their like end of year statements? Like, what is the best way to research a company you may not be familiar with?
I think the best way to research companies is really starting with their website. What's in their press release section? What's on their homepage? How do they describe their company's main mission and their product and service? What's in the press release section of the website? What have they been talking about recently? Do they have any new initiatives? Do they have a new CEO who might have some connection with your organization's mission? And if they have an annual report, that would be useful. And I think the other way is just doing a Google search or a Google News search for the name of the company and see what sort of articles are coming up, what sorts of new things. And I think that, again, is where companies will appreciate that. So instead of looking like you're just kind of dialing for dollars and going down a list of companies, that you've truly said, I saw on your website, or I saw a press release in the city newspaper last week that said, or an article in the city newspaper that said, you're doing this. That's when it'll get a company's attention. Oh, they're just not going down a call list. They've really done the research.
And I mean, isn't that true for us when we get solicited? Like, oh, hey, I saw yesterday you posted about your brand new thing. That is really cool. I'll do it something. I would love to have a conversation with you about XYZ. Doesn't that make a much bigger impact than getting an unsolicited private message that just says, buy my stuff?
Yep. Well, and that's probably how you and I met, Travis. One or the other of us saw our postings and said, I think we have something in common. You work on this. I work on this. Let's talk. And again, it is such a differentiator, because I remember another instance when I was talking to a sponsor for a client, and I was talking to them about the sponsorship offering that my client had for companies. And this had been a longtime sponsor. And the company said, you know, we get their prospectus and we click delete. Even though we've been a longtime sponsor, we probably should read it. We click delete and we wait for a phone call. We figure if they really want us to be a sponsor, they'll call us. So even a longtime sponsor is like, we don't want the prospectus because it's very transactional. The other thing I learned this from a sponsor at the association where I used to work, where I was talking to them about the banner ads that they would get and the logo placements at the event and on the website. And the company said, Bruce, we've been a sponsor for 10 years. All of your members know who we are. We don't need another logo placement. It's okay if you want to throw that in, but that's not the main thing. So that led me to an idea that I've talked about at some of the Partnership Professionals Network meetings, where I've said, take your current prospectus and a red pencil, a red pen, and cross out anything that says logo, visibility, or recognition, or acknowledgement. Take out anything that says logo, visibility, recognition, or acknowledgement, and see what's left on your prospectus. And if the only thing that's left, based on what you're charging, whether it's $500 or $5,000 or $50,000 for that sponsorship, if the only thing that's left is a 40-minute meeting with your board, is that worth that amount of money? You will probably eliminate 90% of what's on your list by eliminating those four categories of things that don't matter to most companies. To most companies. Now, again, as I said, there might be some companies that says, we really want our logos on the tote bags, and we really want our banner ad on your website, and that's fine. If they want to pay for that, that's fine. But most companies will say the logo visibility recognition, or the shout out from the podium, as some literature says, is really not of value to them. They want to be differentiated and positioned as a thought leader.
Bruce, this was amazing, and I know that people listening to this are going to be like blown away. Where can people contact you directly to get more insight?
Really two places. My website is brucerosenthal.associates, and the Partnership Professionals Network is partnershipprofessionals.network. And they can find me either way, and more information, definitely more information. We have a section on the Partnership Professionals Network website, specifically on the pandemic and mitigating the loss of sponsorship revenue, along with some other information on that website. And then I can be contacted through either website.
That's fantastic, Bruce. Thanks so much for today. I was glad talking to you, glad catching up. And again, if you are interested in a mastermind group that's going to speak to you, you don't have to go it alone in your nonprofit. You don't have to fight the good fight all by yourself. Get in our group and interact with the other leaders and see that you're all struggling with the same things and you can help solve each other's problems. Thanks again.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.